One of his songs, it's actually an older song, I don't know, it's quite a few years old, it's called He Didn't Have to Be. And there's a video with it as well. It tells the story of a boy who is the only child of a single mom. And so in the song, of course, whenever a man would come and date his mom, as soon as they found out he had a little boy, well, the relationship ended pretty quickly. Until one day, one man came, and as he took his mother out for a date, he invited this boy to come along as well. A bond of love and appreciation grew between this boy and man who soon became his stepfather. As the song continues, he is now an adult, and he's celebrating having grown up with the love and acceptance of a stepfather who made their house into a home and who made their duo into a trio. Now himself married, he's standing there outside the observation window looking at his newborn baby with his stepfather at his side. His longing and prayer as he sings that he would be half the dad that his stepfather didn't have to be. Right? See, this man had grown to love and see the love of his father, of his stepfather, a man who made a choice, right? This man stepped in, he made a choice to be not only a husband, but a dad, and as the song goes, a good dad. He chose what he didn't have to be. And you know, as I listen to this song in the past, it reminds me actually of the Christmas story. It reminds me actually of Joseph. It reminds me of Joseph, this carpenter. You see, Joseph, as many of you know, and we're going to learn a little bit more, maybe you'll learn some new things. Joseph had a lot of choices that he was kind of forced to make at a young age. He too could have turned and walked away, right? Do you know that there are no recorded words of Joseph in the Bible? Maybe you knew that. Maybe you didn't. Yeah, I think if he's kind of the typical man, you know, the strong, silent type, right? And yet he wasn't typical, as we're going to see. He wasn't typical in many ways. You see, Joseph was a faithful man. As we're going to see, he was faithful in many ways. First of all, he was faithful to Mary. He was faithful to God. And of course, he was faithful to Jesus, his son. He was faithful even in the most stressful and difficult of times, because we all know, we all have or will experience that life is sometimes heavy, life is stressful, life is even scary at times, isn't it? And as a Christ follower, the truth is we're all going to face uncertain futures. And sometimes we're going to go and we're going to face these futures when we think we should be facing them with faith. Sometimes, quite honestly, we are facing them with fear, right? Sometimes we face it with great fear rather than great faith, or maybe, probably most likely, a mixture of both. Many times we face a future where we're not certain of what is going to come next. And as we're going to see today, Joseph certainly understood that. Joseph certainly faced that in his life from the very outset, kind of at the beginning of certainly his relationship with Mary. He faced some major life-changing decisions as he considered his future. And how did he do this? What did he do with these problems? Well, we're going to look at that. Put yourself in Joseph's sandals, okay? Put yourself in Joseph's sandals, his shoes, this morning, whether you're a man or a woman. How would you handle what he faced? What would you have been thinking? What would you be feeling? What would you have chosen to do? So let's take a look at Joseph's Christmas experience as we go through this series, The Christmas Experience. And let's read. Thank you, Rocky, reading our scripture before, kind of prepared you for this message. But let's look at it again, just to look at different portions. First of all, Matthew 1, 18 and 19, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And let me just, I don't think it's up on the screen, but at the very beginning of verse 20, but after he considered this. As we look at Joseph, I believe this morning you're going to see the faithful character of Joseph. You've probably heard of Joseph and Mary, right? You've seen their dilemma. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, this pledge, this betrothal is different than our engagement, okay? We have engagements, right? And it's pretty easy, in a sense, to break off an engagement. I mean, maybe a little bit embarrassing, but it's not that big of a deal. But it was different then, as maybe you saw a couple weeks ago in the video. See, a betrothal, engagement, their time, was actually legally binding, okay? You were technically married. You weren't living together, okay? Hadn't consummated the marriage, okay? But there was this period. But to actually be able to break this off, you had to have a certificate of divorce. They were considered husband and wife by law, okay, by Jewish law. Mary and Joseph were, of course, preparing for a life together, a life of love, a life of having a family of their own. Some of you can remember that. Some of you maybe are even preparing, thinking ahead of that. But then comes the devastating news, right? The devastating news to Joseph. After months, he finds out that Mary is pregnant. She hid it for a while. She went to Elizabeth's, her cousin's, and was there, but eventually, can't hide that news any longer, and she broke the news to Joseph, and you can imagine how devastated he was. I mean, she comes and she tells him some story about the Holy Spirit causing her to be pregnant, okay? Now, we all know that's crazy, right? It's impossible, according to all that we knew, according to all that he knew. Imagine that feeling of betrayal. Imagine the anger. Imagine the anger that he had toward Mary and whoever that other person was that caused her to be pregnant. I mean, this is what's going on in his mind, his heart, that turmoil, that betrayal. What should Joseph do? What? I mean, if word got out, he'd certainly be embarrassed. He'd certainly be humiliated. Matter of fact, most people would assume that he was the father. But we see here in verses 18 and 19, clearly, I think some things I want to show you, we see the character, the faithful character of Joseph, even in the midst of some of the most difficult of times. It says, first of all, that he was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. Now, it doesn't say, you can't say that about all people back then or even today, right? What does it mean he was righteous? Well, it means that he wanted to do what was right in God's eyes. He wanted to do, he desired, and for the most part, because they called him righteous, he did what God commanded him to do, right? He lived according to God's word, his commands. Not only that, we see here he took seriously the vows he had taken with Mary. He took those seriously. Mary, however, had become pregnant outside of wedlock. And as you think about her, you probably heard about the different consequences that she could face. We're going to look at Mary a little bit, I think, next week. But we see, actually, from Old Testament law, she could have been stoned. She could have had capital punishment by stoning. That was kind of the worst. Didn't happen much that time, but it could if somebody was really mad about it and took it, you know, to the nth degree. More likely, Joseph simply could have publicly disgraced her. That's what mostly happened. If someone was caught in adultery, they would publicly shame and not only disgrace her and leave her, but then actually she would have to usually leave the community. Her and maybe her family, if they stayed with her, would have to leave that community. His heart was breaking at this time. Joseph, however, we see here, wanted to do what was right in God's eyes. He wanted to do what was right, even for Mary. It was a difficult decision, okay? I don't want to just pass this over, like, oh yeah, okay, yeah. You know, it happened, and Joseph dealt with it, and on to the next. No, he had to deal with this, all that was going on. And I want you to think about some of the difficult times you've gone through when you've been hurt, of how maybe you have responded or how maybe in the future God calls you to respond. And so he decides, you know, that he wants to do, in a sense, the right thing. He could have embarrassed her, publicly humiliated her. It was his right, really. He knew he was going to divorce her. I mean, that was the only option that he had in his eyes. But he shows another character quality. He shows a quality here that really many people going through difficult times don't have, and that is a quality of kindness and mercy. He had a quality of kindness and mercy. Instead of doing what most men, or women I think too, would do, especially men I think, of seeking revenge, seeking retribution, instead, actually Joseph, it says here, looks for a way to actually protect her, doesn't he? To protect her reputation. He wants to do that while still obeying the law of Moses. He's not going to ignore that. And so in verse 19 it says he decides to divorce her quietly. Now it's not going to be that quiet anyway, but he's going to do his part to not humiliate her, to make her go through anything worse than what she's already going through. And in verse 20, as we read, it says, and after he had considered this. This phrase is significant. After he had considered this. It means that Joseph put some deep thought into what he was doing. And I believe, as a God-fearing man, as a righteous man, that meant also prayer. I mean, that's a pretty obvious, right? Anytime we go through crisis, probably that's the time that we actually pray, isn't it? When there's a big crisis, that's when we think hard. That's when we pray hard, is when tough things come. So Joseph had considered this. He's prayed. Would he trust and obey God in this? What does that look like? For him, after much thought and prayer, Joseph shows, I believe, kindness and mercy as he decides to divorce her quietly. You know, I was thinking as I was preparing this message of how different that is in so much of our society today, right? Maybe some of you, I know some of you have experienced this one way or another. And so many divorces today, whether for legitimate reasons or maybe some would say illegitimate reasons, people usually on both sides, not always, but you know, they demand justice. They demand punishment for the one who's hurting them, right? We hear these kind of phrases, she'll pay for this, or I'm going to take him for every dime he's got. Maybe you've thought that. But it's interesting, we see the faithful character of Joseph. He probably had those thoughts, whatever that might look like in their society, but we see the faithful character of Joseph. He's not interested in destroying Mary or her reputation. He's a man of faith. He is a righteous man, it says. I want you to think about this. This is, you know, kind of introspection time in this message. What would you do? What kind of character do you have right now? What kind of character do I have? You know, I thought about that. How would I respond to situations like this? Do you have a beautiful blend of righteousness and mercy? Are you faithful to God in your character, whatever that might look like? Or is your character, or is how you live, all about you? Is it all about you? Maybe, hopefully it's not like the little boy who is singing the Christmas carol, Angels We Have Heard on High. You know, we'll probably sing that one here sometime. And you guys all know the chorus, right? And as he was singing the chorus, it came out a little differently, though. And he said, Gloria in excelfish Deo! Gloria in excelfish Deo! Sometimes that's how we live, isn't it? Gloria to my selfishness. We kind of live like that. Hopefully we can learn from Joseph's character. The man, here's something amazing. God knows this about Joseph, right? The man that God chose to be the father, the earthly father to Jesus, was a man of character, a man of righteousness and kindness. The same qualities that we see in God, our Heavenly Father. But then something happened to Joseph. Let's pick it up. We were verse 20 to 23. He's considering to divorce her. It says, but after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you, Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah, the virgin will give birth to a child, or will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God gives him a message from an angel in a dream. Now, he's got some explaining to do, right? He didn't believe Mary, but all of a sudden, he has this dream. And you know, Joseph could have thought, you know what? No way. No way am I expected to believe what this dream just told me. I just had bad pizza. Right? There's no way I can be expected to provide love and support to this child that's not even mine. There's no way that I can endure the humiliation or the smirks or the questions that are going to go on if I take Mary as my own. I mean, there's no way that I can explain the timing of this pregnancy. I mean, they know that we're not officially married yet. It's too much. It's too hard, God. I don't even know if I believe what you're saying. That he could have responded like that. Many of us kind of have that attitude, don't we? Maybe we haven't had a dream from God, but there's many things that God has told us and shown us of what we're to do. He's made it very clear from his word. Here's how he wants us to live. Here's what he wants us to do. And yet, how many excuses do we make? Do I make? You know, we think, you know what? I can't forgive that person. I can't give up that thing, God. That's too important to me. Or I can't love unconditionally that person who is so mean to me. Or I can't wait to be married before I have sex with my girlfriend. All these other things, what are they? All these things God is called to do, what do we choose? See, each of us have a choice. Joseph had a choice. You and I have a choice, don't we? Often in life, we think that we only have a limited number of choices. The world often kind of tells us, here's your limited number of choices. Joseph kind of saw really two choices that he could realistically do. One was to divorce Mary publicly, get rid of her, clear his name of this child as his child's father. He is not immoral. He did not do this. Or, secondly, he could divorce her quietly, which would save Mary a lot of humiliation, help her, probably still have a blemish on his name and his reputation. But God gave him another option, to take Mary as his wife and to raise Jesus as his own. Joseph has a choice. What would you do? It's not always easy to obey God. Now we know Joseph's choice, right? We've heard the story, but he had a choice. We have choices. Some of us might be like the kid who was watching TV. I don't know how old he was. I think he's probably like 12 years old. That's kind of, I imagine my kids this way. But anyway, he was watching TV in the basement and his dad called down to him. He said, "Mike, come on up for dinner." He didn't hear anything. Twice, the dad's calls were ignored. Well, just as the show ended, the dad shouted, "Mike, get up here now." All of a sudden, you know, bum, 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 here comes he's coming up the stairs as fast as he can. The boy got up there and he said, "Where have you been, son?" The boy looked at him innocently and said, "I didn't hear you when you called me the first two times." Right? How many of us are like that with God? "I didn't hear you the first two times." We hear God, we hear his instructions, but what do? We ignore them. We ignore them, which is really, in other words, we disobey them. But when we turn our decisions over to God, when we allow him to have the say of how we should live, you know what? He can help us to make those right decisions. Even in the most difficult, even the most chaotic circumstances. So let's look at Joseph's choice again in Matthew 1, 24 and 25. You know it, but let's read it again. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name. What did he name him? Jesus. Yeah? Not Jacob. Not Joseph. Not Micah. Not Joseph Jr. Jesus. Interesting. Joseph made a choice. We see here the faithful obedience. Again, we see the faithfulness, right? Of Joseph. Joseph made a choice. He could have turned and walked away. He could have. Instead, he undertook willingly and obediently to take on the earth, to take on the task of being the earthly father of Jesus, to being the husband of Mary. He did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He did as God commanded him. Joseph showed his faith. How did he show his faith and obedience? Well, he took Mary as his wife, right? They officially became married. They went through that ceremony. Some of you guys are in home groups. I hope if you're in home groups that you go. These videos are pretty, I think they're great. And anyway, there's an interesting scene of when they get married that the priest is not very happy marrying them. You can imagine that, right? as he kind of gives them the look and all that. But they were obedient. Joseph came to God, was obedient. Obeying God was more important than the murmurs, the rumors, the gossip, the hurt that they certainly did face for him and Mary. What about you and me? Are we willing to face ridicule? Maybe people looking down at us because we choose to follow God? Because we choose not to do certain things or to do things that God calls us to? People wonder why you don't act a certain way. Maybe you don't act the way you used to. How come you don't do this with us like you used to do? Or how can you show love and mercy to that person? They don't deserve. Do you know what they did to you? You know what they did to your family? To your kids? How can you show mercy and kindness to them? Joseph didn't care what others thought. He was more concerned, what? He was more concerned with God's approval. Let's take a moment and watch a short scene here from the movie The Christmas Experience.
Mary and Joseph had listened and obeyed. They were simply following God's plan. But many didn't understand.
We see the faithful obedience here of Joseph. We see he's more concerned. We see in his life that he's more concerned with God's approval than people's approval. And in all this, we see that he is faithful to God, right? He's faithful in his character, which in turn shows that he's faithful in his obedience to God. But we see not only those characteristics, but we see them in kind of the most difficult of times, don't we? It's pretty easy to have good character when things are going well, right? But it's a lot harder to trust in troubled times and difficult times. And this was certainly a heart-wrenching time for Joseph. And we all will face those troubled times, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in our health, right? Whether it's in our finances, whether it's with our job or some kind of crisis. We're all going to face those kind of things. But it's during these times that God always comes to us and he calls us to himself. You've probably heard that calling. He calls us to himself even as he did Joseph. And it'll look different for each one of us. But he calls us to trust him even in troubled times. As we looked at these kind of troubled times of Joseph, we see there his faithful character. We see his faithful obedience. And Joseph had he stood at a crossroads, right? A choice. He could have chose self-protection. He could have chose selfishness, in a sense, choosing what's best for me. Or, as we see, he chose instead to be faithful, to have faithful obedience to God. It's interesting. Perhaps in the midst of these circumstances, he was thinking, probably was, of different scriptures that he grew up learning. Many of you know he was a descendant of David, right? That was actually one of the qualities are one of the things that the father of Jesus needed to have, that he was a son of David. Maybe he was reflecting on some of the Psalms that David wrote. Maybe Psalm 50, verse 15 certainly would apply, where it says this, "Trust me in your times of trouble," God says, "and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory." Let me read again. "Trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory." Notice it doesn't say, work harder in tough times. Go to a counselor in tough times. Or feel sorry for yourself in tough times. Or make sure you go and post on Facebook in tough times. And so on. Now, those things are not bad, okay? I'm not saying any of those things are bad. Matter of fact, some of them are good, okay? Not on Facebook, maybe not. But the counselor, yeah, probably. But here's the thing. Usually we do those things first, right? When stressful times come. But instead, God keeps it simple. What should we do? He says, trust me, come to me in troubled times. And when we do that, he gives us some promises. He He gives us some promises. He says he will rescue us. And that looks so different in so many ways, but he says he rescues us, and when he does that, he gets the glory. We are to give him the glory. When Joseph had that difficult decision to make, he stood up and he faithfully obeyed God, despite what people would think, what people would say about him, right? Despite the hard road that was ahead, and if you know the story, it certainly was difficult, especially those early days and years. But that's what God desires of us, to trust him in those hard times, right? He listened and obeyed God, even though it was really hard to understand. Even when he had that dream, it was still pretty hard to understand. Okay, how does somebody get pregnant without a spouse, without somebody else being involved? But he trusted God. And we see that God gets the glory. Matter of fact, here's something. I just thought of this yesterday as I was kind of going over this. That, you know what? God is still getting the glory for Joseph's decisions, his choices. Today, as I speak to you, God is getting the glory, right? Some of your choices in the future, you may not necessarily see all the glory that God gets right now, but down the road, maybe even after you've passed away, they're going to remember. Remember that choice that person? Remember that choice that you made? Maybe your kids are going to say that. Remember that choice that mom made or dad made or grandpa made or grandma made or that my brother or sister made? And then when they follow God, remember how God used that? God is good. And they choose to follow God. God gets the glory because of your choices. Bill Crowder, he wrote a book called Windows on Christmas. He said this about Joseph. He says, in fact, Joseph's obedience teaches us that trust or faith and obedience are inseparable. Faith and obedience are inseparable. If we do not first trust God, we will never surrender our choices and destinies to his purposes. And if we do not obey God, we will never see the great and humbling things. Listen to this. You will never see the great and humbling things he wishes to accomplish in and through your life. If you don't trust and obey, you're going to miss out on God working in and through you. So where are you in your faithfulness with God? Even when things look hard or impossible, do you still trust God? Doesn't mean that you don't have questions, doesn't mean that you don't have doubts, but do you choose to continue to trust and follow him? Do you still choose to obey God's word, even when it's hard or it goes against what everybody else is saying? We have a great example this morning of the faithfulness of Joseph, faithfulness in his character, right, of being righteous and kind, and also his righteousness or his faithfulness in obedience. For us to become like this, ultimately we need to understand the Christmas story. You see, Joseph got a picture before it happened. He got from the angel an understanding of what Christmas, as we call it, is all about. It's about Jesus, right? It's about the coming of this one. Why was he going to be named Jesus? Because he would save us from our sins, right? From our rebellion against God, from our choosing to do our own thing, which we've all done. And so we see here, as was revealed to Joseph and to you and me, Jesus came to save us, he says, to forgive us our sins. Emmanuel, God with us, God, Jesus, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, came to us to offer that forgiveness. That's why Christmas and Easter always have to go together, right? And Christmas and Good Friday, we have to talk about what Jesus did at the end of his life when he died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. That's what the Christmas story, that's how Joseph could do this, because he had faith that this Messiah was coming. He had faith that what God said to him was true. So to experience the love and salvation of Jesus is what it's all about. That's the only way that you will be able to have the character that God wants you to have. That's the only way that you'll be able to obey, not because you try harder, but because of Christ. So if you've never experienced that, if you've never really put your faith in Christ, I would encourage you to do that. Because that's what Christmas is all about. That's what Joseph would say Christmas is all about. That's why he wanted to be the father of Jesus, the one who would take away the sins of the world. As we close, I want to give us a moment kind of been doing this a little while. I just think it's good. A lot of times you hear me talk, and that's good, and hopefully God's speaking through me. But I want to allow you time, as you've been listening to God, to kind of talk to him yourself, and to give you a moment to kind of say, ask God, how can I grow in my faithfulness? Maybe something God's already been speaking to you about. You know, maybe it's as you consider decisions that you have made, or maybe there's some decisions that are coming up. How will you listen to, how will you obey God rather than listening and conforming simply to the world, okay? Or to those who don't follow the Lord? Or maybe it's an attitude, you know? Maybe it's an attitude you need to change. Or that you just need to spend more time with God to get to know him better. Or maybe, you know, there's so many, maybe it's an area of selfishness, as we talked about earlier. Or an unforgiving spirit. Whatever it is, let's just take a moment and let's pray. I'm just going to give you an opportunity to talk to God and say, God, help me to be that person of faithfulness like Joseph was.